Ryan Else is with us for the book review this morning, and it's a beautiful one to look at, that's for sure. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Catherine.
Robin White.
This is fantastic.
Yes, Robin White. Something is happening here. Edited by Sarah Farah, Nina Tonga and Jill Trevelyan. Published by Te Papa Press. So that gives you a size of the scholarship that's come to bear here.
And it's Te Papa in association with the Auckland Art Gallery.
Thank you.
So they're based on it. Yes, this is amazing. It's an association. There's going to be a major retrospective of Robin White's work at Te Papa first, starting on the 4th of June, and then it'll go on to Auckland in September. So that's this we'll be able to go and see a lot of the work in the book. And it's got more than 70 works from across her 50-year career. She was one of the very first New Zealand women artists to be able to have an entire career dedicated to working as an artist and also be married and have kids, which was fantastic. And I was very pleased to see that I looked it up. Broadsheet had an article by her about her life and work in 1974, which was only a couple of years after it started. So we picked up on her early and featured her a lot. Now, this is a fantastic team has put this together, those three main authors and editors, but there's also another 19 contributors, and they range from White herself and her son Michael, who talks about his portrait at age 5 and how boring it was being painted as a child. And then it goes on, including some of, she started working with collaborators, and when she was living in Kiribati and the fire destroyed her studio and all her work. And so after that, she took to working with local materials and local people, and she's collaborated with 11 people who are named in this book as collaborators. It's superbly designed and produced, but also it's extremely well conceived and constructed, so that despite dealing with such a complex intertwining of life and art, it works perfectly for readers and viewers. It just has been really thought through, and it's based on 4 main locations that she's been based in. She started off at Parramatta, where she was friends with Sam Hunt, and then she moved to Dunedin, and then she moved to Kiribati in 1982 with her husband, and back to New Zealand in 1999, where she settled in Masterton, and they still live there. And so it's each part starts with an illustrated account with photos and also other works of hers, of her life over that period. So you're getting a really good biography of her. So they break it up. So they tell you about her. And the first part of her, of the book, of course, goes right back to when she was born. So that's a long biographical segment right up to Parramatta. And it's also followed, those biographical segments are followed by work from that period, which was often, of course, it involves where she is living, that she is painting and working with. And it's each of the paintings or works, prints, drawings, is accompanied with a short commentary on the facing page, and that has just got a huge range of people involved in that. And then it concludes with 2 of her main collaborators, who are the sisters, Ruha and Ebony Fifita, talking to Nina Tonga about working with her. It's a beautifully written, it's exactly right. It tells you everything you want to know about her, really, and constantly links her life with her art, because she apart from a brief stint teaching when she was first out of art school, she's actually worked full-time pretty much as an artist. And this format works really well for her because it links the life and the place and the resulting art. And it also demonstrates beautifully how her works developed and changed, because you're working right through from her earliest paintings and then her screen prints, which she developed so that she could sell her work in an affordable way. And then it goes on to her completely different work she was doing on Kiribati, and then again changing when she started working with collaborators, and they were from Kiribati and Tonga, Fiji, Japan, and Aotearoa. Her father is Ngāi Tahu, and her mother is Pākehā. And she had six older, much older brothers and sisters. She was just the real baby of the family. Now, I didn't know that she was Ngāi Tahu, but she has developed that side of her life too with some of her collaborators and her work. And the whole thing is immensely readable and accessible, but it does that without losing any of the breadth and depth that her work requires when you discuss it. It's got two of the 2021 works. She did four works. She and collaborators did four works to accompany the Matisse exhibition in New South Wales in 2021. And she was invited to do that by New Zealander Justin Paton, because he's the curator now at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And Sarah Farrar's commentary, this is just one example, but these are extraordinarily, they look very, very passion, they're beautiful works. And Sarah's commentary explains the intricate interweavings these embody. So in Soon the Tide Will Turn, it's got a gorgeous background of fine tapa patterning. But set into it, when you look, there's a colonial style French hat for Matisse, Peter McCleavy's chaise longue. Remember that? There used to be chaise longue in his gallery always, and his kete. And it's even got the COVID-era hand sanitizer. And these are all beautifully included in this work. And Farrar describes these as complex interior worlds, sites for imagined conversations across cultures, time and space. And that, I think that's always in a way been what she's been doing, but these late examples are extremely complex and interesting. So, I can't really wait to see the exhibition, but I think this is one of the most satisfying and beautifully done works about a New Zealand artist that I've ever come across.
It is so very cleverly balanced between the texts, the accompanying texts and essays, her artworks, images of her, photographs, yes, of her at work or as a young woman. It seems to just have this lovely balance, this lovely flow. Nothing jars or looks out of place.
No. And it's just so thoughtfully done. Like when you're reading the biography and they refer to works, which they do, they just tell you the page number so you can immediately and easily look at it. You're not hunting for some illustration number or something. It's really easy to go backwards and forwards in it and look things up. And yes, right through the biography there are photographs and also other works that haven't got a full page illustration. So we don't own a lot of good New Zealand painting, but one thing we do have, which Harvey bought me, is a set of the Sinamele Goes Fishing, the four beautiful sepia woodcuts that are discussed very well in the book. And that was really interesting, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have those. They're beautiful. So I've always been interested in her. But when you think, Catherine, that I was in Auckland in the 60s, I could have been buying.
Oh, here we go. Well, you could have been buying houses too, Ed.
I
know what you're saying. Look, this is the wonderful thing about...
I've never bought a painting in my life. I didn't come from a family that bought paintings. I could have bought one, but it never occurred to me to do that. So
the wonderful thing about collectors, I remember Celia Dunlop's Thrill Me Every Day, which I still love reading, and people like Jenny Gibbs as well, who've had that lifetime habit. Like, you don't have to start with pots of money. You start at the beginning.
But it is interesting that it's just... I just didn't belong to that world myself, so it didn't occur to me to do that.
Yes.
And it was only really when I was with Harvey that we started buying. We mainly have works on paper, but that one is a particular favourite of mine. It's absolutely beautiful. The woman in the centre of it, another woman, it's the drapery and the bodies, and it's sort of like Blake, or it's incredibly lovely. So I'm thrilled to bits to have that one.
There's an indefinable, you've just touched on it, there's an indefinable element to brilliant art, which is that you look at it and you don't know why it is so compelling.
No.
The amateur can't sit and say, well, it's this or it's that or the next thing. You just stare at it and go, it is completely compelling.
And lovely stuff in here about the early Italian art, those sort of Sienese ones where there are people doing things in them, and she was very attracted to those right from the beginning. Yeah. And also she does have a very strong spiritual component through her Baha'i faith, and so she was attracted to those early religious works as well, and they describe how they influenced her and so on. And it's absolutely magnificent. Of course, Jill Trevelyan did that wonderful Angus biography, which has just been revised, by the way, and reprinted. But between them, they've done a magnificent job.
And that craft, you say, of it being academically pleasing and satisfactory and researched, but readable as well, as a particular skill of these editors.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yes, Anne Els has reviewed Robin White, Something Is Happening Here. A beautiful book, as we said. It is published by Te Papa Press and Auckland Art Gallery. $70, frankly, is pretty good value for something as comprehensive as that.